Welcome everyone to the new episode of Electronic Talks podcast. I'm your host Johannes, and today we have two very special guests. We got CJ Scott and Ari Bald, two emerging DJs here in Stockholm with a very deep background as well, of course. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
They are of course here because of their new EP called Dance Monkey Dance. But before we go into that, I would like to ask you, how did you guys meet?
Starting out, I think this is probably through a friend of ours called Sebastian Gooding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
He's the guy.
He's the guy. I think I started like a small record label / DJ duo with Sebastian Gooding back in like 2014, 2015 when I met him at Tregon, because we shared like the same passion for mutual sound in house music. And then we both were actually huge fans of your music.
Yes.
So we kind of reached out to you somehow. I think you played some gig somewhere and I was present, and I think I spoke to you
all pre-pandemic.
Yeah, this is a long time ago.
Feels like such a long time ago. Yeah, for sure. And then we had a summer gig at Tregon.
Yeah, in 2016.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
And then it went from them calling themselves Biggest District and CJ Scott, and then me just kind of emerging into the trio.
Yeah.
Itself.
Yeah, it was a natural progression, I'd say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
after sure. That first gig, it was a sure shot. Like we played quite similar styles, and it was like such a dynamic trio, I'd say. We kind of we surprised each other with some like track selections, but we also had like this same feeling of what we wanted to play. Like, oh, you brought that record. I have it too. Like, I remember you had a couple of records where I went back and pulled up the record in my bag.
Look
and
what I got.
Like, yeah,
exactly.
I got it too. Yeah. So I think it was somewhere there we actually like realized, yeah, we should probably play some more shows together, because this was so much fun.
Yeah, and a shout out to Sebastian Gooding.
Shout out to Sebastian Gooding.
We love you forever.
Nice. And from there, you found out that you had similar taste in music and you were DJing together, but how did that shape into more of a, you know, creative endeavor for you guys?
That was actually kind of random too. I think we started out with the plan, me, Sebastian and CJ, we were all gonna do like a EP together, produce like one track, and maybe recruit a fourth member. And we had that plan for a couple of years. Some names were talked about, but we never really launched that idea.
No, but I think it's got to do with the pandemic itself as well.
Yeah.
Kind of just not hanging out as much, and especially kind of losing the club, and then kind of then losing the music
and the drive
for at least 1.5 years.
Yeah, but then I remember, because from like the very first beginning we wanted to release a track that CJ made, so we always had a plan, like, okay, CJ is gonna make he's gonna do an EP on the label, because me and Sebastian did a split EP where we made two tracks each. And we were like, you're gonna have your own EP and we're gonna maybe like chip in a track or two, or we get like a fourth member on the record. But that kind of like never happened. So during the pandemic, you and me decided to make a split EP instead.
Yeah.
So we basically made the second EP like we did the first one. But instead of Sebastian's music, CJ came through with one of the original tracks that we quote unquote signed. And then you made another one, or you dig up another one from the vaults.
Yeah, I dug.
Yeah.
I did some digging. Yeah.
So that would have been the first EP where you were actually on the same record.
Yeah,
would that be correct?
True. Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So from that process, that's like sharing the record, so to speak.
Yeah.
But nowadays you're actually making the music together.
Yeah, exactly.
And could you tell me a little bit about that process, or the difference between how you're thinking about it or approaching it?
I think it's got to do with us kind of that it's from we're building stuff from the ground up, and that means bringing together all the samples that we have kind of like soaked up and sampled through the years, and just like put them together and see what fits, basically, just like a snare from there and a hat from here and this disco sample, maybe this jazz sample or whatever, and then make kind of like a patchwork monster,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, for sure.
Because the samples are all over the place.
Yeah.
But it's just a result of us kind of always being on the look for stuff.
Yeah, that's I think that's one aspect of it. And also, like we, I remember after we released that EP in I think it was like August 2020 or something like that. We actually decided, like at your place, you showed me a sample, like oh, someone should do something with this. And right there and then we were like, yeah, let's sit down, try to make something. And we've never like hung out in the studio before that moment. And that was, I think the first session was probably in October or November in 2020.
Yeah, late 2020.
That was the first time. And then we made a track and it was surprisingly easy. Like we finished it in 2-3 hours and it's honestly been like that ever since. Like whenever we sit in the studio, we usually make one track and we sit for approximately 2 to 5 hours.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we gather stuff beforehand and we send stuff to each other like on a weekly basis. And then we like gather everything through, sit down, have a discussion of what type of track we want to make and what type of sample we want to use. And then we just start to chop it up.
And then we start chopping, and then maybe the plan might not be the one that we stick to. But yeah, so for sure. And then like the pre-work is so natural because we're always on the hunt for sound or for disco and jazz and funk and all that kind of stuff.
And I think we also both of us have been like quite eager to look for this kind of music too. Like we feel there's a gap also to be filled.
Yeah.
Like there's not so much like house music nowadays that's released, particularly in Sweden, that uses like the old school way to do it. Like digging up disco samples, just making it super functional and fun. It doesn't have to be super like you don't have to be like inventing the wheel again. You can just try to use the old methods but find the other stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's quite like a renaissance project.
Yeah, yeah, which is so much fun.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's fun to do.
Oh, that's a very nice way of looking at it. I was thinking of that too when I was listening to your new EP, Dance Monkey Dance, that it's very sample based, obviously, like you just described, but it's also very refreshing and joyful. You know, it seems very playful. It seems like you had fun when you made that. Would that be a correct assumption?
Yes.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah.
So much fun.
There's always a lot of laughter and excitement when we make house music. Yeah, it's fun. Even if it goes to shit sometimes, it's always fun.
Of course.
So it's
which is like one in, I don't know, like one in maybe 6 times?
Yeah, something like that.
And I was also thinking about the name of the EP, the theme of the EP, you know, this thing about monkeys or apes, or, you know, could you tell me a little bit about that whole thing?
I think that the Dance Monkey Dance title, I think it came to me from a movie, I can't remember which one, but it's basically, it has to be, it's related to being kind of a, almost like a like a DJ is almost like a puppet master,
right?
You're in control of the vibe and the kind of tempo, etc.
Right.
And you being the puppet master for all the monkeys on the floor, basically. So it's kind of like a we're kind of demanding that the monkeys are they should be dancing
when they listen to this.
Yeah.
Like an early idea for the cover art was supposed to be like the automated monkey with two symbols.
Right.
But rather than holding two symbols, it was gonna kind of hold two vinyl records instead.
Right. Nice idea.
Yeah. The creative master.
So that was gonna be kind of taken into the Dance Monkey Dance vibe.
Mm-hmm. So going from there, like, could you tell me a little bit about the aesthetic of the record itself, about the cover art and the whole idea, thought process about that, and who you're collaborating with, possibly?
Sure. It's a friend of ours. I know him through Arthur.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. Yeah. His name is Elliot Axelsson. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've known each other for a long time, and he is studying like design, graphic design. And I've actually gotten help from him making a couple of like EP covers, or like I did a own album back in 2022 as well, and he made that. So he was like a natural contender when we were asked from Axel, like, who do you want doing the graphical design? And the first person that popped into my head was Elliot.
I feel like we had already spoken to him as well.
Yeah, I think
we were. He was like already in our heads.
In the mix.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So he was. Yeah, he was introduced. So we showed Axel some of his stuff and his portfolio, and Axel loved it right away. And then the thing is, we tried the monkey idea at first. And we were actually like talking about buying one of those small toy monkeys, mm-hmm. and like maybe like shooting a photograph of it and kind of implement it on the cover art. But we kind of scratched that idea.
It ended up being kind of too much monkey, too basically, much monkey. Yeah. Because the cover was going to be monkey, and then the EP is called Dance Monkey Dance, and then we ended up kind of. All the tracks have monkey related titles, so it was just going to be too much. So we went for the kind of abstract Elliot stuff, which is so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he worked. I don't know what the like method is called, but he scanned a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me like a link of stuff he was doing at school. He's in Amsterdam studying at the Rietveld.
Yeah.
So he scanned a lot of stuff, like old like news articles, small illustrations, and made kind of a collage of it, mm-hmm. and sent a link with hundreds of these scannings, and we kind of fell in love with them right away, and was like, "Yep, yeah, Elliot, just scratch the monkey idea and do something with this." Like, you get totally free hands. Mm-hmm. And Axel was on board with that idea, too. He was like, just let him do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sent us maybe like 20 ideas. All of them were really good. And then we just tried to narrow it down. But in the end, we all, like us two and Cornel, Axel, Petter, we were most in love with this one.
Yeah.
It just jumps right at you.
Yes. It jumps, and yeah, and it sticks out.
It's very beautiful, colorful, fun. Mm-hmm. So, love it. And also, you previously released records on labels such as Velvet Pony, you know, with Art Alfie and so on, and also your own releases, of course, mm-hmm. like self-releasing. And could you tell me a little bit about the working with Studio Bahnhof, how it was for you, and how that came to be?
Super smooth. I think we kind of worked into somewhat of a portfolio after a while, over like a year. So we had maybe like 9 or 10 kind of already close to mixed tunes at one time. And then we had spoken briefly about where we wanted these titles to end up. Which label should we choose?
Yeah,
kind of like, because we have some background, and we had some contacts, and we were like, okay, who are we gonna like bypass Sweden? Are we going for Germany or the US or France or where should these where do they
where should they end up?
Yeah, yeah. Where should they end up? And that's a fantastic privilege.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course. But we decided on asking Axel Boman for just like listen to these tunes. What do you like? What do you think about them? Yeah. And I think we had, I mean, I'm pretty sure we had had some correspondence before, just like sending some kind of stuff. Maybe I'm mixing up. I'm probably mixing up stuff.
Yeah, I think we had like a minor correspondence on Instagram. Like I've been speaking to Axel for a bit on Instagram just randomly, and I knew he had played some of my stuff earlier, and I knew that you knew him a bit beforehand. And I think he reacted to a lot of stuff too when we were in the studio, like filming, like making a tune just with your iPhone. And I think he reacted like, "Oh, this sounds really good." And then I think we just made the decision to like send him stuff, and if he just want to play it, go ahead. The download link is available, but if you're down to maybe release something of this, it would be a privilege and an honor. So yeah, he was on board like right away. He was like, yeah, let's make something happen. And then we just kept sending him tunes throughout the fall of 2022. And then after that, we just narrowed it down. I think we had like maybe 12, 14 tracks to choose from. But yeah, and then everything since then was really smooth too. Like the mastering part of it, Elliot doing the artwork, working with the label manager, the new label manager, Matilda, who has been like brilliant throughout the process too.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, everything has been a joyful ride. No bumps.
No bumps at all. No. I feel like it even like came out before the prognosis, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually early.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Yeah. So how does it feel now that it's finally out?
It's a bit weird, but it feels supernatural.
For sure. It feels like we've been playing these songs for a while too. I mean, the first song that's called Detective Shimp, it had a working name before. We played that, I mean, for a year and a half or something like that. Before like Axel wanted to, like, yeah, this tune we have to release on Barnhus. So it feels good to have them out in the wild. Especially a lot of people have been asking, at least me, like through Instagram, like, oh, what is this tune? What is this tune?
Yeah, for sure.
Like unreleased. Yeah. So it's nice now to kind of direct the people to the source.
Yeah.
So does it feel like testing it out and playing it to the crowd has been a big part of the decision making of what to release as well? Or
I'd say so.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. You've run so many tests. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be the tunes that you've run the most times that you have to release, but they just ended up being that way, I guess. Mainly because they're all bangers. So,
I think we also wanted to find like a good mix between four tracks. Like making a dance music EP is hard in itself because it's so easy to find like to fall into the trap of making four tracks that sounds exactly the same. And we had a couple of tunes that were quite similar, so we wanted like something that felt natural but also like quite, can't get the word, like they can complete each other in a nice sense. One tune is more of a like a tech house vibe, and I think that has more of the CJ Scott essence of it, and one tune is more of a like a loopy classic disco house tune that is more of my previous style. So we wanted like a perfect balance between our individual production styles too. At least we reasoned that way when we were like trying to decide what tracks were my shoes for the EP. So that played a big part too, I'd say, like testing it out and also find the diversity in the EP, even if it is probably the same sound and genre.
Or might sound the same for
I think there's different feels to them, even if they're all quite high BPM and energetic, you know. I think they're telling kind of different stories, at least that was my impression over listening to it over the weekend. Nice, so it gave different kind of emotions for sure, right? Like mystical snippets of phone calls or whatever. There's some fun stuff in there.
Yeah,
I like that kind of stuff.
Me too.
That's all you genius of quirky samples.
I love finding strange stuff and like kind of just baking in a lot of field recordings and strange phone calls and weird things I find online.
That's nice. So you do field recordings as well?
This is like all sampled.
Right.
I think I've used some of my own recorded stuff back in the day, but it's not as fun as the stuff we've put in that I've found like on YouTube and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So many funny moments, like CJ cracking out the sample, like, yeah, listen to this. It's like two kids that removed all their, like, what the teeth, like, in the back of what you call it in English? I can't remember.
Is that like the wisdom?
Yeah, the wisdom teeth. Like, removing the wisdom teeth, like, high on morphine and can't even, like, pronunciate words right.
Because the mouth has, like, bandages in them. So they're already sounding pretty weird. And then it's got, like, that kind of psychedelic effect to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And everything's so freaking weird.
It's so muffled too.
For like a child who hasn't been like high in their whole life before, obviously, or hopefully. So that's in maybe one or two things. I think it's a part of one of the newly produced songs as well.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think that's gonna be also like a theme that we're gonna continue with for our future productions too,
for sure. Yeah,
this like quirky field recording, something like really deep end in the mix that you barely can't hear, but you can still identify that something is going on.
Is that a voice? What is that?
Yeah, is that a car?
Freaking car. Yeah.
No, but it's nice because it gives you a possibility to re-listen and discover new things in the background. So
true.
And so you're sharing a studio right now, right? And you're working continuously and developing your sound. And like, how do you see you're going to continue on this route, you think? And how does the future look for you guys? What are you thinking right now?
I haven't thought about it so much. We just recently moved to a new place.
Yep.
Which is a proper studio. Okay. These were all produced in the cellar of Arthur's parents' house in the suburban Stockholm.
Yep.
Which was great, but this is like this new studio is everything we ever wanted and could dream of.
Very nice.
No, but proper bass and
proper everything. Proper everything, sound aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything sounds right. Like, you don't have to re-listen to everything with free pairs of headphones.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you have like monitors and the kind of equipment you prefer.
Yeah, for sure. We have monitors in the other studio too, but the room was wasn't like optimized for making music. It was like stone walls. The sound could bounce quite a bit, so it was hard actually sometimes to get a grasp of how the song actually sounded.
Sure, but I mean it's a fun part of like evaluating the mix.
Oh yeah,
taking it with you and then listening to it like during the week, and then coming back and saying, "Oh shit, no, that didn't work at all," or "This was too high" or whatever. But that being said, a lot of these tracks sounded very, I would say, really like really good from the get go. Like,
yeah,
this man has a very good ear.
Yeah, I actually helped you with a mixdown beforehand. That was the first time we were ever in the studio.
That might be, exactly. Yeah,
he was going to do a track. Was it a remix, right? No, it wasn't a remix. It was a release that never came out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I was going to help CJ with the mixdown because you didn't feel like comfortable with that? Did Oscar help you?
With a lot of mixdowns and a lot of pre-masters. But obviously that was for mainly for
Velvet Pony or the
Velvet Pony productions.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
That was a long time ago. Can't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, I helped him with
the pre-master.
With the pre-master, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that has been you dig out the weird kids on morphine and I check the levels.
Yeah.
It's a perfect perfect duo.
It's a great duo. It's freaking great.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Oh, so I guess you already talked about like the kind of sound you like disco samples and things like that. But could you both just give us some example of what introduced you to like electronic music or dance music? If there was a particular record or DJ you saw or an event, so you could both go. Maybe start with you. Do you have some idea?
I got my electronic music background from home. So my mom and dad, mainly my dad. Introduced me to kind of just like he had CDs with like Underworld and like early Weird Lounge and what else, like that kind of 90s era CDs with electronic music that I got introduced to really early. But like one of my earliest kind of concert and live memories that I can remember is being on his back at a concert, Chemical Brothers playing at Fryshuset.
Nice.
And this has to be, I was maybe like 6 or 7 years old.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite.
And random. That I remember block rocking bits, for sure. That was cool.
I think I have like two distinct memories. The first one is hearing Flatbeat by Mr. Oiso. That was my first introduction, I'd say. I don't know how old I was. I wasn't that old. I was maybe 6.
No, I remember it running on Vox Pop.
Oh, yeah. It's maybe released in 99?
Before your time as well.
Yeah. Or something like that?
Yes, classic. Also famous for the fantastic music video. And I mean, I think I saw you guys don't you have the doll?
I have the doll, had to buy it. I hearing that when I was really small, and then my parents telling me I was really into that song, and then like listening to it when I was maybe like 10 11, I was listening to it a lot. Also like hearing, and this is a weird connection, but like hearing the Prodigy on Gladiatorerna.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Also,
that might, yeah, sure.
And also, my sister was really into, like, she listened to a lot of pop, but a lot of like electronica too, and she went to a lot of like festivals, and she was really into like The Knife, I got that from her, and she was also really into Slagsmålsklubben when I was really like younger too. So I was super into that. She bought all the CDs, and I was like, I borrowed them all the time. So she played a part. But yeah, those three, I'd say. And then I found house later, like during my like gymnasium period, I'd say, when I was graduating. I was all over the place. I was into like dubstep and French electro, like Breakbot and Sebastian and BCP.
But that's, I feel like that was the way you kind of consumed music back then, when you had like a small MP3 player. And then, like, just grabbing what was available, basically, on, like, LimeWire. And then just putting it on your small MP3 player. And then, like, the music was all over the place. I was just like you. That was... I would listen to kind of just, like, when I was, like, maybe, like, 13 or 14, my MP3 player would be, like, Jamiroquai, John Coltrane...
Oh yeah.
Earth, Wind and Fire, and then like drum and bass and house and stuff.
So very eclectic.
Very eclectic. Yeah.
Eclectic, yeah, but kind of warm sounding. In every way.
What would you say now, more in recent year, like what kind of DJ experience do you prefer? What kind of club atmosphere is it that you're drawn to, like these days? If we just shift completely from the past to now and the future.
It's a good question.
Yeah, sure.
It's a good question.
I always feel like I like to stand on the same level as everyone else and just kind of be able to read the room kind of instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Did this work? Did it not?
Yeah.
Maybe why? Did I play it for too long? Did I make a bad transition? Like not being up on a pedestal somewhere else.
Right.
I think I prefer that.
I agree. I think it's like we've been lucky too with the gigs. Like the gigs we've had have been so good. Like we played a couple of times at Underbronen Trädgården, mm-hmm. and we had like such a like thumping night. Like a lot of people being there, like people are out to dance. Like mm-hmm. they really want to dance, and you just try to give the people what they want, so to say. And like CJ said too, like it's you want to be on the same level as everyone else. Like we dance when we play too. A lot of people when they play, they're like can be like really serious and really like collected. And I can be that when I play solo. I usually don't like to play alone. I can play maybe 1 to 2 hours tops, but mm-hmm. then I don't know what I'm doing. Like I don't know if the crowd likes it. I need someone else to, like. Tag someone else, give them the key to the car, like you drive. I sit in passenger seat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's good too to play. And when we play, we usually dance a lot, like try to stand in the DJ booth and dance. And I think I think people like to see that too.
Yeah,
like the guys or the girls that are playing are just having a good time, like everyone else. And then it's not so dramatic. It's just music.
It's right. just fun.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
As long as people have fun.
Yeah.
We have fun. Mm.
That's it. No, but that sounds good. That sounds like a natural thing about your collaboration too, that you can vibe off each other's music when you play live. That's maybe the whole nature of your collaboration in the end, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Mm. Just showing each other tracks too, like, oh, I bought this record.
Yeah.
Putting it on and... And I said, both of us standing there, like having like a total bass face. Like,
what the hell is this? No, but that's the fun part of having like a very kind of homogeneous taste.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Being all like, oh, wow, I think I've heard this one before. What is it? And then being all over the place with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's never boring playing with Arthur.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell me about some of your upcoming gigs, or you even have a release party coming up this weekend, isn't it true?
Yeah.
That's true. We have a release party at Snickers Records, which is at Slussen, Hökensgata, and we're gonna sell the record, so you can buy the record. We're gonna hopefully have some merchandise to sell too, a t-shirt that's gonna be exclusive with some art from Elliot on it, and then... Yeah, there's gonna be some cold bevies for the people, and after that we're gonna play at Tranan, actually, quite nearby.
Oh right, the same evening.
Yeah, the same evening.
So this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
So highly recommended for everyone.
Yeah.
To come.
You're all guys welcome. There.
And I'm guessing too, like in the summer period, you're also lining up.
Sure.
A bunch of gigs. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm.
We have a Trädgården gig on the 2nd of June, and then we're going to the Gagne Festival.
Yeah.
And before that, we're going to Umeå.
Oh, yeah, Umeå.
Yeah.
Excellent. Was that the Fawcett?
Yeah, for Fawcett
Club?
Bar.
Nice.
That's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be dope.
Yeah, it's going to be dope.
Awesome. I'll definitely be there on Saturday.
Yes.
And guys, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, thank
and
you.
And I really enjoyed hearing about your vision, and hopefully we'll see each other again soon. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you.
And for everybody back home, please do pick up this wonderful record as a vinyl in Snickers Records, or you can go to the Studio Bonhus website. You can also get a digital version. That's it for this episode. Thank you so much. Like and subscribe if you want to see more good guests, and thanks for this time.